We are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Again to the King's Men. I am Mark Houck, your host, and we're back here live in the studios at in Doylestown, 1570 AM on your dial in this area, also 1420 in the Coatesville, Chester County area. So it's great to be back in the studios here, and we've been away for about a good month. We had a retreat the 4th Friday in May, and then I was in Indiana visiting one of our King's Men groups. Second Friday in May. So it's great to be back. So if you're just tuning in, it's the first time you're hearing this local program called The King's Men. We are a program about authentic masculinity. We talk about men's issues. We talk about spirituality for men. We'll talk a lot about our programs at The King's Men, what we're offering men. Sometimes we'll give commentary on current events and things, but always with a spin with the masculine. For fathers, for sons, for brothers. This is what we do, and this is what we've been doing for the last 18 years. Blessed to be a part of the Holy Spirit Radio family since July of 2006 when we did our first radio program. We've been doing probably, I guess, nearly almost 300 shows at this point, broadcast live here from the studios. And we're blessed to be back and doing it and talking about holy things and the things that matter to us as men, as family, heads of our families, I should say, the domestic church. Today we're going to talk a little bit about something that happened a week ago, which my son challenged me to think and ponder on. I actually blogged about it. But before we do that, let's invoke the patron saint of the King's Men Apostolate, which is St. Augustine of Hippo, and we invoke his prayer to the Holy Spirit. As we just celebrated Pentecost, the birthday of the church this past Sunday. It's appropriate that we continually call upon the Holy Spirit to unleash all the gifts of the Spirit. We ask for an unleashing of the Spirit today as you listen to this radio program, as you listen to me and be inspired, God willing, to be a better father, better husband, better man, better brother, better son. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work, too, may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. And we ask St. Augustine to pray for us. We ask St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, and for fathers to pray for us. All right. I was inspired last week to do a blog on June 7th, the day after the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion in Normandy, France. And my son is quite enamored with D-Day and World War II, but he's enamored by the heroic. And I want to talk today about that, about how men lose that zeal and that desire to be a hero. We have this desire as young boys, as young men, but somehow, some way, it gets eroded and it gets snatched up or taken from us because we just get caught up in life and we get caught up in our everyday existence. Whereas, but we're called for greatness. As Pope Benedict XVI would say, we're not called, to be mediocre. We're called to greatness. Youth, Paul Claudel, the great French poet, said, is not made for that, but for heroism. That's what youth is for. And somehow, some way, as we evolve into our manhood, and maybe we assume our duties as a father, as a biological father, We forget that. We forget the heroic. Now, I'm not saying, when I say heroic or heroism, I'm not saying you have to do something where the world would identify it as heroic or, you know, supernatural. Sometimes just getting up every day and fulfilling your duty when you don't feel like doing that, and you don't like your job, and yet you go and you put in a noble and good day's work, that's heroic. That's heroic because you are fulfilling your duties out of obedience, out of love for your family. That's heroic. I think that's heroic in a man when he sacrifices, he dies to himself and what he would like and prefer to do for the good of his family. But I want to get back to what was truly defined as heroic for just a second and build off of that. I blogged about the D-Day anniversary because my son asked me a question. He said, "Daddy, why aren't more people talking about this?" Now, on a national level, there was some conversation. There was, I'm sure, some coverage of this. We had a big event commemorating the 75th anniversary over in Normandy, France, where President Trump and the First Lady went over and were there. There was a degree of that. But I think from the perspective of the local man, and this is a local program here at Holy Spirit Radio, how much did you, dear listener, ponder what happened 75 years ago on June 6th? How many of you in this listening audience today are connected with that, are in touch with that? Now, my father's father, fought in World War II, and I remember spending time with him, and I remember talking to him. He's since passed away. He was not at the Normandy invasion, but he did serve in Germany, and he was there at the Battle of the Bulge, which was the last great offensive for the German Nazi regime. And pretty much after that, the war essentially was over. There was no more attacks that really were threatening the free world at this point. The regime was coming to an end, slowly but surely. Nonetheless, I remember talking to my grandfather. I remember having conversations. But brothers and sisters in Christ, this generation of Americans, which Tom Brokaw calls the greatest generation of Americans, debatable whether that's true, are all dying. There's probably only about 400,000 or 500,000 of them left in the world. And a lot of them went to France last week, and those that were there, they're in their 90s, that were at the Normandy invasion. They're in their 90s. These men were celebrated. And I read some articles and so forth, and I was inspired. But my son asked me the question, why aren't more people talking about it locally, like family members, friends, just in the community? There's great efforts to support our veterans. But my son he felt like a silence was there in the world that he knows. And I said to him, "Mark, it's because a lot of people from our generation have lost touch with this legacy. And many of those heroes are not around to share their story anymore. A lot of them have passed away." But he said, "But Dad, these are the greatest generation of Americans." He insisted, "Like, I don't understand. Like, this isn't right. How is this possible?" I said, "I know, Mark. It's sad that there are many of us, myself included, who fail to see what you see and believe what you believe." And I remember back when I was traveling in Poland, giving a few talks in the great country of Poland about 6 years ago. We had an opportunity, my wife and I, to visit Auschwitz. And of course, Auschwitz was where St. Edith Stein died, St. Maximilian Kolbe and Frank. This place that is, for us as foreigners visiting this country, is a place of great somberness, of course, and you know, there's great awareness that we have. If you were in the community there as an American, say, "Wow, this something important happened here, something very pivotal in our history." Right? You say, "Wow, this is important. This should be recognized. This should be noted." It's tragic, of course, but of note. And we asked the Polish people we were with, "Are you do you know anybody that was here?" in your family, in your history, in your legacy, in your patrimony? What, you know, is there any connection? And most of them said no. Well, maybe a distant cousin or something. They had lost touch with the importance of the heroes that were there. Of course, there were many who weren't heroic there, many who were on the wrong side of that evil, perpetrating that evil. So I remember thinking about that, and I'm thinking, wow, that's 70-some years removed, and we've kind of lost touch with the grisly nature of that and the importance of remembering that, you know, as the great Sir Edmund Burke once said, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. There was a sense of that. And I just felt with my son that his sense of why there is not an awareness is indicative of an apathy, perhaps, towards what is true, good, and beautiful, the noble call, the courageous volunteerism, heroism of these men and women who volunteered. You know, actors leaving their careers, athletes leaving their careers to enlist in the service. I was reading an article about John Wayne. He did not go to World War II. He had four children, and he was dispensed. But my son responded, well, that's heroic too, Dad, staying back and taking care of your children. Yeah, that is heroic. You know, but some even left when they had children of that size and said, no, there's a greater call, there's a greater duty here. Jimmy Stewart was one of those actors. Anyhow, so as I ponder what my son was saying, I thought it might be good today to talk about the heroic. Are you pondering, dear brother and sister in Christ listening, the heroic in your life? Well, that could be saints. Certainly the saints are upheld as heroes of our faith. But are you pondering the heroic? And is it inspiring you to be just that? For my son, he's inspired. He's inspired by the heroic. He thinks about it. He wants to be heroic. And of course, we know living a life of virtue is heroic. As a father, as a husband, those disciplines, as a father, you know, leader, protector, provider, the mission of the Kingsmen Apostolate, living out your call is heroic. Leading, servant leadership, sacrificing, dying to self, dying to what your wants are, let's put it that way, your desires for yourself, and giving them up for the good of another. To protect the common good. You know, there's a lot of things going on locally and nationally that are invading the common good. You know, there's a drag queen story hour that's going on in Haverford Library. Please pray for that community. This is a movement within the country where drag queen story hour, where drag queens come into the local libraries and age 3 to 6 year olds are exposed to a hidden agenda that is of adults only to really normalize this behavior. Whereas 3 year olds and 6 year olds, they don't need that indoctrination. It's very dangerous. It's very traumatic to young people's development. Anyhow, there's a clear and present danger. We're not here to talk about that today, but pray for that community. It happens this Saturday. Pray for all the prayer warriors who are going to be there praying the rosary outside of Haverford Public Library. Pray that the people will see the light of day there and recognize that this is is dangerous to our community, dangerous to our children. But that's heroic. And protecting the common good, as those of the World War II generation understood that there was a greater duty than to just serve their family as father, as husband, was to go and to protect the free world. Wow. That's a difficult decision, is it not? A lot of discernment there. My son sees that reality. He says, I see that that's heroic, staying back and taking care of children. He's 10 years old, and yet he can see. And then, of course, providing. You know, are you able to provide when you're away from your family? You know, all these things that need to be prudently discerned. And so this is things that we need to ponder as men, as are we engaging in those realities? Am I neglecting my duties? Am I failing in my call, in my vocation? I don't believe that the greatest generation of Americans failed in their call. I think they got it right. I think they went over there, and we are right to remember them. But we were right not just to remember them on one day, but we're right to remember them because their time is short on this earth. You see a World War II vet, have a conversation with that vet. Talk to them. Learn, because that history is going to be gone. I think many from my generation failed to acknowledge the importance of these events and the time and the stories of these men and women. Now, a lot of them are so humble, they don't really want to share their story. They're so humble that they don't even think they did anything important. And that's what makes them so great, is that they feel that way. As my son's pondering these things, I ask you, do you know anybody in your life who served at this time? Spend time with them. Sit at their feet. Learn of them. Because those virtues and that nobility and that heroic life that they lived needs to be heard. In Normandy, France, there was that commemorative event taking place, which, again, as I said, brought many of the surviving D-Day veterans together from Canada, Britain, France, the United States. And it was a great commemoration, reenactments at the Normandy beaches. I've been at the Normandy beaches, the British landing in Arromanches. I've seen this wall that was in front of them, this dirt wall that was they had to climb. They were sitting ducks in that water when the Higgins boats arrived with the first layer of troops. I mean, just sitting targets. 90% casualties in that first wave of the Higgins. 90% casualties. If you had 30 people in your Higgins boat, 25 of them are dead. Just think about that. The bravery, the courage of these men. How did they muster that up? They must have had a faith. They must have had a belief in God. There were some good articles posted, and I read them, about the faith of Dwight Eisenhower. Our nation did pay tribute. But the spirit of my son's question, Daddy, why aren't more people talking about this? It's not that the world didn't recognize these pivotal events on that level. Again, 3/4 of a century ago, people in our communities, in our neighborhood, did you think about it? Did you take pause? Was Memorial Day just a day for you to celebrate and barbecue? Yeah, it is celebrating barbecue, but it's just another day off from work. Why are we given this day off from work? To remember, to ponder, to reflect. My son, like many boys, is enamored, as I said, by stories like this, but of our own American history, especially battles that took place which helped to secure the freedoms for our nation. My son plays and has much interest in sports, like most kids his age. But he's more interested in learning about our nation's history, people like George Washington, Ulysses S. Grant, Robert E. Lee, Abraham Lincoln, Davy Crockett, Jim Bowie, guys that fought the Battle of the Alamo. He has a thirst for knowledge of the heroic. Do you have a thirst for knowledge of the heroic? The data that we just gleaned, my son and I, from the Battle of Lepanto, the largest naval defeat in the history of the world, I share that with my son. He wants to know more. How is this possible? About these real stories, how these men fought heroically through the intercession of Our Lady of the Rosary, the Lady of Victory, achieved greatness in the largest defeat in naval history, achieved graces, won the day for Christendom, fought courageously and bravely for something greater than themselves. And my son wonders simply enough why others don't find this as important as he does. I challenge you, dear listener, do you find these things important? When I come back from this first hard break, I'm going to share with you some really shocking things about what we're teaching our children in schools. Are we preserving the heroic? This is my question of the day. This is the theme of the program. Are you preserving the heroic? Are you demonstrating the heroic? If not, read stories of the heroic, be inspired, and live. Our Catholic faith is filled with heroism, the martyrs, the local martyrs from our country, from our world, in America. We have many of them. North American martyrs come to mind. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're pondering the heroic today.
My name is Joe Zimmerman, and my brother and I own Summers & Zims. We would be pleased to provide you with high-quality service for all your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. We are pleased to serve the listeners in Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. Our phone number at Summers & Zims is 610-593-5129, or you can simply Google Summers & Zims. My prayer is that God would bless you through His Word as you listen to Holy Spirit Radio.
It's time for the Catholic Charities Appeal Night with the Phillies. Friday, June 21st at 7:05 p.m., the Philadelphia Phillies versus the Miami Marlins at Citizens Bank Park. This game will feature a special pregame retirement ceremony for former Phillies great Chase Utley. Tickets range from $23 to $43. To purchase tickets, go to the special URL, phillies.com/Catholic Charities Night.
Hey, take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 'Cause it's 1-2-3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Visit CatholicCharitiesAppeal.org to learn more.
If you're seeking safe, nurturing childcare, go to RaiseYourStar.org. Simply type in your zip code to find the Early Learning Resource Center near you. We'll help you find a convenient, licensed childcare provider to keep your children safe and help them learn. We may even be able to help with your childcare costs. Let us help you raise your star. Find your local Early Learning Resource Center at RaiseYourStar.org. Sponsored by the Office of Child Development and Early Learning.
All right, welcome back. We're pondering the heroic. That's the theme of our program today. And with our Catholic faith, we have a lot to do. We have a lot available, I should say. We do have a lot to do to catch up with the heroic. But I'm Mark Houck, your host, with you here at Holy Spirit Radio live today on this first Friday in Ordinary Time. I hate to say it because Easter season was such a joy. But we are back in Ordinary Time on this Friday, June 14th, almost finishing up the spring. We're almost done here, another week to go before we begin our summertime. But we're pondering the heroic. In the time of summer is a time of growth, but there's a laziness that comes with summer. I think it's important that we ponder the heroic. And today we're talking about what happened a week ago on June 6th, the 75th commemoration anniversary of the D-Day invasion. And my son asked me a question. Daddy, why aren't more people talking about this? And the spirit of his question is on the local level, within his family, within his network, within the people he knows, the sphere of influence that he has. Not many people talking about it. Not many young people his age thinking about it. I guess our lives as adults just doesn't have the wonder of a boy discovering a whole other reality to the life which he is exploring as he grows into a young man. This is important. There's a lot of us as men who grew up wanting to be a superhero, wanting to be heroic, wanting to live a saintly life, to be a saint, to die for Christ. We have these desires. We see the value in them. And then somehow it escapes us. It gets taken from us. We allow it. Maybe we're not as vigilant, that we don't have the discipline necessary to pursue it. Or we just say, oh, that was kid stuff. This isn't kid stuff. What these men, these young men did, they left their families to go and fight a war over the Atlantic pond, thousands upon thousands of miles away from their family, to defend the virtue of freedom for the free world, this goal of freedom for the world, for others to experience what we experience here in the United States, to see value in that alone, to say that there are people suffering, oppressed, and hurting, and dying, and being murdered, that we have a duty in the free world to go and defend and protect the innocent. This is at the core of the manly virtue, of the manly call, the manly mission, to lead, to protect, and provide. For men, it's for the common good. And that was the common good. Sometimes World War II is known as the just war, the principles why you would go to war. I'm not saying things that were done necessarily in World War II were just, but the war itself, the cause, Hitler killing innocent people through his Nazi regime, the Axis powers, what they did, it was necessary for the free world to come to the rescue of those that were being oppressed and killed, literally, the innocent being murdered. And so that's why we were there. Maybe we knew that as young men, maybe we didn't, but this is the story. Perhaps many of us as adults have researched all we care to know about these times, or we just heard what we heard in school, and that's it. That's enough for us. I tell you today, you have not learned enough. You have not learned enough about these wars, about these battles, about this history. In the schools today, there's not enough teaching on these things. We're more concerned today about what is culturally sensitive and politically correct, the diversity training that is indoctrinating our youth in kindergarten, all the way up in the public school system. Did you know that the founder of our country, George Washington, I know founding father, but essentially George Washington, his character shaped this nation. Did you know that George Washington is largely ignored in the school systems across our country today? His portrait has disappeared from classroom walls. Do you remember the portrait of George Washington being in schools when you grew up? I do. His portrait is virtually gone. History books now have as little as 10% of the coverage of Washington that they possessed just 40 years ago. How sad. As I said, our nation was formed on the character of this one man. He was appointed president, not necessarily elected, but elected in the Continental Congress, but not by the country, but by the Congress. He essentially was appointed as the first president. And you know what? They gave him no rules. He was to establish, they trusted that he would establish the rules for the presidency. And he did. Because of his great character. Many kids today know nothing about George Washington. And I fear, and that's what? 200 years removed from his life, I fear in 100 years, which will be 175 years removed from D-Day, that the youth of America will know little to nothing about the D-Day invasion. Our books will have nothing. Where these men, there's only 400 or 500,000 of them left, all combined. These men are dying every day. Many adults would rather study and review the current standings in the major leagues. Now, I know our Phillies are in first place. Okay, I'm not here to frown upon sports, and I played sports my whole life. I pursued professional football. I love sports. But many today would rather review those standings than learn about the Battle of Anzio. Do you even know what the Battle of Anzio is? I learned for the first time through my son what the Battle of Anzio is. Essentially, it was Normandy in Italy. Did you know that? Nobody even knows about it. How sad. Some men would just prefer to prep themselves for their upcoming drafts. That's right, their upcoming drafts, so they can check out from their families and lives and live in their own little six-month fantasy world that we call fantasy football. That's right. Some men in this world, and perhaps some men listening to me now or husbands of people listening to me now, spend more time investing in their research of athletes so that they can participate in a mock draft, which adds no value to the culture, to the world, no value to the domestic church, no value to our church, but only stimulates the man in his own egotistical way so that he can enter into this fantasy world and live in a false world check out from his family hours upon hours a week so that he can win fantasy football. I hope that doesn't come off too harsh. I'm sorry, but so many men today are checking out from their duties as leader, protector, provider because of fantasy baseball, fantasy football. I don't even know. Is there fantasy basketball? These men would rather do this stuff than learn about the Battle of Anzio. To know that Davy Crockett left his comfortable world to go to Texas to fight at the Battle of the Alamo because he saw a greater good there. To give up his life. Davy Crockett, who had probably everything he ever wanted. A politician, fame. He saw a greater good to go to be in Texas and help the Texians to win their freedom. 26-year-old Colonel Travis saw a greater good to stay there and not retreat when Sam Houston told him to retreat from Alamo, from the Battle of the Alamo, from that mission. Again, do you know these things? My son has taught me all these things. Praise God. Thanks be to God. My son is teaching me about what is heroic. A greater good. And the child shall lead them. Perhaps this generation's only link to the past was a grandfather or a great-grandfather, whom they either took no time to know or ask about the significant role they played in our history. Now, of the articles that I'm reading, again, as I said, a lot of this for them was too painful even to revisit. They couldn't even share it with their wives. So I get it. You know, you may have asked your grandfather or great-grandfather questions about the war in your own little way, and they didn't really want to share, or they dismissed your question or didn't tell you much. Again, of the articles I'm reading, the men who served, they didn't think they did anything great. There's a great degree of humility that shrouds this whole group of Americans. And again, for that reason alone, they should be remembered. My son, in his own youthful wisdom, knows the importance of these events. And I challenge you, dear listener, to do the same. To reflect on your week and ask yourself, how much of your week is spent pondering the heroic? Whether it's saints in the church, the feast day of the saints, the martyrs in the church, our local heroes. Pondering the heroic for inspiration. Maybe you don't do it at all. How much of your year is spent pondering the heroic? I love reading biographies of great people. I want to be inspired. I want to live a life of greatness. Not in worldly sense, but I want to fulfill my call and my time as a Catholic Christian, as a man. Now, for me, that's living out my vocation as a husband. That's where it's manifest. That's where my greatness is as a father. Fulfilling those duties faithfully. Leading, protecting, providing. Will I be called into certain battles that might get national attention as a founder of a lay ministry like the Kingsmen? Sure. But that's not my legacy. Yeah, it's part of my charism as a Catholic man, and God has given me the great burden and responsibility to lead a Catholic apostolate like the Kingsmen. But that's not my legacy. That's part of my legacy. But my true legacy, my true identity is in my vocation as husband, as father, and children first. That's my first duty. I could go off and want to save the world from people like Hitler or the Muslims today, the radical Islam. I could do that. But at what expense? Abandoning my family? Neglecting my duties there? How pleased would God be if I went off to that mission and failed at my primary mission? No, see, my family and I, we do both. We're a missionary family. And that's my call. That's part of our legacy is my family and what I do. And I'm blessed to do it. But it's also, you know, my gift is my burden there. So as my son in his own youthful wisdom knows the importance of these events, and he does his best to preserve this legacy as he builds his Legos. He's 10 years old as he makes those Lego forts, as he educates even his own peers and cousins about these things. And maybe, God willing, one day pass them on to his children. My job as his father is to encourage him to keep doing this thing, this type of work. Keep inspiring him to learn more about not only his country's history, but about the history of his faith, the Crusades, the men that would go, and the true origins of the Crusades was to defend the Holy Land. Yeah, things went awry, and money, and things changed a lot of that, but the true origin of that crusade was to defend the Holy Land, to keep reflecting and pondering on these things. What are the great battles of our day? Abortion comes to mind at the local level. The anti-pornography fight, the things that the Kingsmen deal with, defense of traditional marriage. This gender fluidity movement is insane in its logic, in its reason. We're seeing this, as I mentioned briefly, through our library system. We're seeing the gender fluidity movement coming into our library systems. And this is a clear and present danger. It's a battle of our day, and it's coming to your neighborhood. Be ready, men. Be ready to defend your territory, your community, where your children live and breathe. What are the influences in your community on your children? Start with your home. Are you bringing these influences into your home? When we come back after the second heartbreak, we'll talk about the invasions in our home. There's a D-Day invasion in a certain sense, in a figurative sense, in our home with the mass media today. And we as men are not storming that beach. We're sitting back letting it happen. We're letting invaders come in and take over our land, our property. I don't mean in a physical sense. In the choices we've made, in the things we've exposed our children to. Again, as I said, my job is to continue to encourage my son to ponder that heroic. And one day I pray my son's life will also be a reflection of all he perceives as worthy to be remembered and emulated, like he's thinking about. We're talking about, as we go to our heartbreak today, the second heartbreak, we're talking about the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion and how it inspired my son to challenge me with a question, Daddy, why aren't more people talking about this? I thought it might be good to bring it into our program today to talk about the evils of our day, yes, but to talk about our inability to live the heroic. We're not called to be mediocre. We're called to be great, to become saints. We're called to greatness. And in our hedonistic culture, pleasure is of the highest good for a lot of people. And I challenge and I put out a couple things that maybe some people would take offense to, but we need to start putting away all the fantasy world stuff that's distracting us from the true, the good, and the beautiful, which is our faith, which is our families, which is our children, and raising them up to be saints. We live a life that is hopefully a model of all that to our children. But many of us are distracted. Many of us are distracted by keeping up with the Joneses, to having all the latest and greatest gadgets, to having a big property, to having all the material goods that says that's a life worth living. At the end of the day, you can't take that stuff with you. And I'll close with this thought before the second break, and we're up against it in 10 seconds here. When John D. Rockefeller died, the richest man in the world, they said, what did he leave behind? How much did he leave behind? And his family said, he left everything behind. You can't take that with you. When we come back, we'll continue to ponder the heroic. We're going to talk about this invasion of D-Day proportions in our home. A chance for us as men to be heroes. Stay tuned.
Join St. Maria Goretti Parish in Hatfield as they embark on a spiritual journey with other parishes and make their way as pilgrims to the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. They'll also make a brief stop at the St. John Paul II National Shrine, where his first-class relic can be venerated. The bus will leave on Saturday, October 19th at 7 a.m. from St. Maria Goretti Church parking lot, and you'll return home approximately at 7:30 p.m. For more information, please go to stmariagoretti.net.
Momentum in the movement. I'm Maria Gallagher of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and this is Pro-Life Notes. There is renewed momentum in the pro-life movement, thanks to some awesome work by state legislatures throughout the country. A number of key pro-life bills have been passed in general assemblies throughout the United States. The pro-life success stories have received national media attention, as well they should. People across America are waking up to the fact that preborn children and their mothers deserve protection. It is only a matter of time before Roe v. Wade, which brought us abortion for any reason, is discarded on the ash heap of history. It's now up to each one of us to prepare Pennsylvania for an overturn of Roe. If you'd like some hints for making that happen, please visit our website at www.paprolife.org. Stay informed. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.
A longtime supporter of Holy Spirit Radio is Holly Hill Health Foods, a locally owned, family-run business for almost 28 years. They offer a wide selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, and formulas. They also have nutritionalists to serve your needs. Visit Holly Hill Health Foods at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, Pennsylvania, or call them at 215-361-7770. You can also shop online at hollyhillvitamins.com.
All right, welcome back. We're in the fourth quarter here of the Kingsman radio program, last quarter, and we're talking about the heroic. I'm Mark Houck, your host, and I've been pondering questions that my son posed to me about the D-Day invasion a week ago, 75th anniversary, and I thought that might be good for us to bring onto the airwaves today, just to challenge each one of us as men to reflect on not only do we have an awareness of these truths, which was modeled for us. That's the best way I can put it. Sometimes you read about this stuff and, okay, it's book knowledge. But you have that person in front of you, and there's only about 400,000 or 500,000 of them left who can talk about what they did, how they did it, to sit at their feet. I remember when Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg's Band of Brothers came out. I was a little late to the game to that one, but I saw it probably 5 or 6 years after it came out, 2001 I think it came out, but I saw it in like 2006, 2007, and I was very inspired by that Easy Company group of men, and I decided to write to Major Dick Winters, who was living in Hershey at the time, and he was kind of the main character in that true story, and I said, you know, this man is so local, I could drive 1.5 to 2 hours and be with him. I'm going to write him a letter and see if I could just talk to him about leadership. And just get his input and take in that wisdom so I can learn from myself, from someone who lived it. Well, he had Parkinson's disease, so he was not taking guests and visitors. But I did reach out because I knew he was going to die soon. And he did about 5 or 6 years later, in 2012. I think he might have passed away, maybe 2013. So these guys are gone. Now it's only in storybooks. Now it's only in narratives. Now it's only in documentaries that we can hear from them or learn what they did. And so I'm inspired by that. I'm inspired to be more vigilant for the battles that are surrounding me. It may not be what they saw. And as I said before the break, it's in our homes, truly. Are you vigilant for the evil that we allow as men, as fathers, as husbands, to creep into our home every day? Sometimes that's through our television. Now, you can make a bold decision like I did, my wife and I did years ago, to not have TV in our home. That eliminates a lot of the confusion. It really does. A lot of the agendas that are out there, eliminating your TV from your home is going to take away 60, 70% of that in your home. Now, that's a bold move. We have a DVD player. We can watch shows, DVDs and movies and stuff. However, I'm not saying everybody has to do that. But I am saying this. It has helped to preserve the innocence of my children. And is that such a bad thing? This generation of Americans, and this young generation, this youth, I don't know even what they're calling them, Generation Z, I don't know what they're called now. I don't know what this new generation is called. But those that have been born in the last 10 years or so, and even the last 20, they have not known a time of innocence. Because it's taken from them very quickly through social media, through the gadgets, through TV, through our kids' programming that so-called is good for them. It's being taken from them. So you have to ask yourself, as men, as fathers, this invasion coming into our home, taking over our home, are you guilty of allowing that on your watch? You have to reflect on that. Am I being heroic in these choices? Is it a heroic decision to take the TV out of my home? I think it would be. I think it would be heroic. I'm not patting myself on the back. I think it would be. Believe me. There's a great desire, at least in the early days when I didn't have TV, to watch TV. After I've been doing it for so long, 15 years now, my wife and I, 12 years rather, it's not that big a deal. But that would be a heroic step away. I'm not saying we got to be Amish here. I'm not saying we have to give up all technology. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's evil. If your television is leading your children to hell, would it make sense to get rid of it? Ask yourself that question. If my television, the cable TV that I enjoy so much because it gives me access to the things I want to see, the sports programs, to all my fantasy programs that I got to see, if I knew, if the Lord could reveal to me, my guardian angel could reveal to me that the cause of my children going to hell was the choice, the foundation, let's put it that way, was the TV that I allowed in my home. Now, Mark, maybe you're saying, Mark, you're crazy. But let's just think about this for just a second. If you knew that, would you do anything about it? Again, I'm not saying that's going to be the cause, but it could be. Look, a lot of the things that are on television are extremely toxic. Extremely toxic, not virtuous, and dare I say, pure evil. Now, you need to make a decision. Am I allowing this on my watch? Now, step away from the TV. Let's talk about the gadgets. Does every person in your phone have a gadget? Does every kid have a phone when they get to be 8 years of age? I don't know. I see a lot of families with kids with their own phones walking around and checking out from the world and checking out from people and not talking, not having conversation. Kids don't want to go out and play anymore because they have so many gadgets to keep them engaged, I guess, somewhat engaged. I don't know. There's no physical engagement. It's a dopamine neurological engagement. It's an addiction. Video games. Okay, father, you're out raising support in your family. You travel a lot. You're not home. I understand. You're trying to provide. Maybe you're doing a lot of good with your funds and the money you're bringing in. You're supporting a lot of things. Maybe you're supporting Holy Spirit Radio. Maybe you're supporting the Kingsmen. You have to weigh those costs, right? The scale of justice, I guess, in a certain sense. What's the cost? You got to count those costs. Okay, yeah, I'm able to provide a good living for my family, but my children don't have their father. I guess you have to pray on that, right? You have to pray on how much is too much. I'm away a lot. I travel a lot with the ministry. But when I'm home, I'm home. And I'm present. And I'm there. I'm away a lot. We have to balance that. But if our compensation for our lack of presence is in providing all the gadgets to make up for the lack of human connection, we have to reflect on that. Is it a heroic decision to say, you know what, maybe I'll take a job that pays me less, still pays me a good wage, but pays me less because I can be home more and be more engaged. And maybe while the children are coming of age, which is so vital, that I do that. And maybe as they become older and they're not as dependent upon the formative element of their father, maybe I discern that differently. I don't know. I'm just throwing this out to ponder the heroic. What would be the heroic decision there? Would it be heroic to homeschool your children? It might be. Would it be heroic to send them to a Catholic school? It may be heroic. I don't know anymore. I don't know if our Catholic school system, diocesan-wise, parochial-wise, is a heroic decision anymore. I don't know. It's a sacrifice financially. Maybe you look at more classical curriculum programs, programs like the Regina Academies that are a departure from the traditional Catholic sense of sending your kids to Catholic school, prior school, diocesan school. Maybe the classical approach, the Martin Saints of the world, the Regina Academy, maybe that's a heroic decision to engage in these small schools that are trailblazing for our future, for the future of our children. Maybe that's heroic. Maybe it's heroic to say to your wife, I don't want you to work anymore. I want you to be at home. And maybe your income drops, of course, because you don't have dual income anymore, and you make those heroic decisions together. So the gadgets are there, the laptops, the computers. How many computers are in your home? Do your kids take a computer to their room? Do they have a computer in their room? Do you have software on your computers to monitor where they go? Do you have, at the very minimum, filters on your computers? Now, filters are not 100%, but at least you can monitor where your kids are going. Do you at least have filters on your computers? Go to netnanny.com. For $59, you can get filters on 10 gadgets. That would be like the bare minimum that you can do. Now, monitor that stuff. But dear Father, don't let your children have a TV or a laptop in their room by themselves. It's a time bomb. You have put a time bomb in your kid's room, and it's going to go off. It may not go off right away. But the heroic decision is to say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to discipline my children. I'm going to provide the environment that's going to make them comply with what is true, good, and beautiful, to be obedient, to not have overindulgence, to not self-gratify, to delay gratification. I'm going to provide that discipline in my home. I'm going to give that. And I'm going to decide as a father today, once and for all. And before we close this program, I want to give an update. Last time I was on the program, I made a commitment about my own cell phone usage. This kind of ties beautifully in here. I wasn't even planning on saying this, but I wanted to give you an update. I said last time I was on the airwaves, excuse me, that I was going to retreat from cell phone usage on the weekends. Now, I was going to reply to people who were trying to reach me, but I was going to retreat from any deliberate initiation of use of my cell phone. In other words, the mindless surfing because I'm bored. I was going to detach completely from that on the weekends. I was not going to initiate emails. I was not going to initiate text to people. I was going to detach from my phone because I felt like I was using my phone to the detriment of others. And I needed to, especially on Sunday, the Lord's Day, to have a day of rest. I needed to give it up. And I said, on Saturday and Sunday, I'm just going to deliberately retreat from active engagement with my phone. And I can tell you, for the most part, for the first month, it's been pretty good. This past weekend, I didn't do so well. But I tell you, we got to be deliberate. And I'm only reporting back because I want to be held accountable. And I want to put it out there for prayers for myself, but also for others, that this is important. That there's an invasion in our home of technology. And not all technology is bad. I mean, here at the studios, Frank and I were just talking about how technology has enabled me, this program, to be in the studio by myself without Frank's engagement. I don't need someone in here producing the show for me, you know, to handle the gadgets. You know, technology can allow us some freedom, and it's a good thing. But how much is too much? you only know that for yourself. And we're pondering the heroic today. Ask yourself, have I been less than heroic when it comes to the technology that I brought into my family and my life? Have I been less than heroic? That's a good question. Not to ponder it that way versus, have I been sinful? Have I been ill-tempered? Whatever the word is. Heroic. Have you been heroic? Frank, do you have something you want to add?
How can you make me feel so guilty by sitting there as I'm sitting on my phone reading news articles and having you discuss?
I know. Well, I said it's good. I mean, we've been doing the show without you in here.
That's right.
So technology has helped us today.
It can. But, we all have to take a chance to step back once in a while.
Yeah, I don't mean to shame you, brother, today. I shame myself.
I'm sitting there on my phone listening to you. I'm like, this is just wrong.
Well, yeah, we all check out, right? We need our trap doors, don't we?
But before the show closes out, I actually just, you were talking about Regina Chally.
Right.
Regina Academies. I just want to say a quick word about closure, actually. A sad state. Mm. Grade 9 Academy announced yesterday closing for next school year. Like, they're done now.
Wow.
And so our hearts and prayers go out to all the people in that community that are now impacted by that closure.
Right.
As well as the employees.
Sure.
It's one of those things. We have to find ways to support our faculty.
That's right. Well, let's remember the Grey Nuns. My mom was taught by the Grey Nuns. Well, again, that's heroic, right? Those, the life of a nun. Heroic. Because we don't have any, these schools are closing. All right. It's been Mark Hockman. My pleasure. Frank Eliason, on behalf of the Holy Spirit Radio family. God bless you.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating